I love the Awana program, but you got to understand something. You have to ask a simple question. Why do so many kids who go through Awana not put any of it into practice? What's the difference? Apa, para. That's the difference. They're learning things from you, but that's not the best way to learn anything. The best way to learn is alongside of somebody, OJT. So if you can teach these Bible verses to kids, and then they can see them somehow in your life and in the life of others, they really have impact. But if all they do is get some regurgitation, you know, boom, boom, then it's really worthless. By the way, how many sermons have you said under that you have no idea you were even in? Did I preach a sermon recently called By Little and Little? Well, you wouldn't have known it Wednesday night. It was like, I think I said that about 30 to 50 times in the sermon. By the way, this morning is part of that, look at me, part of that By Little and Little. You should be by little and little learning ideas of Scripture and putting them into practice. Now, the best way of learning is you're going to learn carpentry. You get old Tim Durham over here. Let him take you out in the shop. Let him show you. And he's nice. He's not like me. He's nice. Let him show you. Let him help you. So let's look at the verse. You ready? 2 Timothy 2:2. Are you ready? 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy 2:2. But it's not this word that King James uses the word of. It's not just Paul just handed you stuff. You're learning it. It means from him too, but it's alongside him. So you're seeing it in action. This is the reason people can speak one thing, do another, and guess which one their children follow. By the way, this morning's sermon is going to be very nice. I'm going to tell probably one of my favorite stories that I've ever told. It has nothing to do with me. It's very emotional to me to read it. But frankly, it won't do people any good. Where do you learn to work from? 99% of the time, not from anybody telling you how to work. It's, you know, you just notice that old man gets up every morning, 4:30 in the morning, goes down to Laclede Steel, and you know, you see that for 30 years, and you realize, look at me, that's what men do. Men take care of their family. And if you grow up in a home where males are lazy, and their basic idea is to get home as quickly as they can and do as little as they can and watch as much TV and sleep as much as they can, children, what do they learn? So the problem is, I love this verse, but it's missed a little bit. You got what I'm saying? All right. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 16. Let's all stand. We have it in your notes on the front page of the first page of the notes. We'll read a... Unfortunately, they're not all in one location, are they? No. Well, let's do this. Let's read right under point number one, and we're going to go through all the bullet points of this notes, and then we will look at 1 Corinthians 16. Acts 11, this is where this all began. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth, we would say today famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So sometime after 43 A.D., before 54 A.D., because he died by his adopted son Nero, poisoned by some mushrooms in 54 A.D. So between 43 and 54, we don't have to know the date specifically today. That's when this happened. And verse 29 says, then the disciples, every man, not male, every individual, according to his or her own what? So ability does matter in the area of giving. Determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did. And they sent it to the elders. So you have, remember what we taught? From someplace, through some people, to someplace. Look at me. People you know, not big black holes. So I think this stuff is repeated all through Scripture, folks. I don't think giving is really a mystery. And hey, if you're learning this, you can share this with your children, your grandchildren, people you talk to. It becomes as natural as a person growing up in America to speak English. Or you can go to sleep in front of the TV. Really, it's your choice. 1 Corinthians 16, everybody turn there real quick, and we will go over these four verses. By the way, everything in the last couple weeks and today comes out of four verses. It's repeated in lots of places. These are the four verses. All right, you'll notice up here, here's what we could call New Testament giving. There is tithing, because the parallel situation in the Old Testament, New Testament. It was the Old Testament temple. It's the New Testament local church. The men serve the Lord in the local church. Men serve the Lord in the temple. Parallel ideas. Then we have two broad kinds of giving. We would have benevolence, which is what this passage is talking about. And I will call this broadly project or missions giving. And we have already looked at that. And that's basically the three kinds of giving you're going to do. This last week, we sent $1,600 and something dollars to the Philippines, close to where Louis's from, of which 90,000 people, as far as I know, are still displaced. And we did not send it to the sky. I didn't give it to the government. In the Philippines, are you kidding me? No, we sent it from this church. Well, I didn't have to go through any place. It was electronic. To the pastor that I work with every year, Ulysses Fundano, which, by the way, look me in the eyes, who already helps every Saturday a group of poor children. I've been there when they've done this. They already help people that have great needs. This is just making that a little farther. So some of our money, mostly from outside sources, gave for this purpose. Here we go. By the way, this is not religion. This is what Christians do. All right. So you understand this, tithing, and then there's benevolence and project or missions giving. So 1 Corinthians 16 says, now, concerning the collection, for whom? It's not tithing, it's not missions, it is what it is, benevolence. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. That there be no gatherings when I come. And then I have people read this and say, no, I don't tithe. I only give what I'm able to give. This is not talking about tithing. This is talking about benevolence. That there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. In this case, of course, you had to send money from the churches through Paul and other people they had chosen to there. By the way, I didn't give the money to Louis and say, Louis, look up here, folks. Louis, take a plane flight back to the Philippines. Drop this off and come home. It would cost more for the plane flight. No. So what do? We send it electronically. Louis has a way he sends it electronically. That's exactly what we did. Makes sense, doesn't it? He goes on to say in verse 4, and if it be meet or appropriate that I go also, they shall go with me. Let's pray, and then we're going to look at all this and finish up today. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So if you have your notes, I'm going to give you the big ideas. When it comes, and by the way, we're speaking primarily about this, but I don't think it would be any different with this. The way I view giving. And if this has made you uncomfortable the last couple of months, remember, in 22 years, I've never talked about this stuff. This will be my last time for the next 22 years. I think 10% minimally is what we give to the Lord, to the local church. People sometimes will say, shouldn't we give 10% of this to missions? And I don't find that in the Bible, but our church gives more than 10% to missions. So don't worry about that. We give about 30% to missions. Then we come up here. Then there would be, at times, some sort of projects. We have a lot of missionaries. We have mission support. We have projects here. We'll have more projects. You know, sometimes you have to build things, fix things, buy things, etc. And then there's also benevolence. Benevolence, if I can say this, these two are different than tithing, because tithing is a specific amount. Project offerings and benevolence, they're a little different. They're according to some other things. So let's go through the bullet points. When people are in need, number one, God's people do what? We give. That's just what God's people do. Number two, God's people give carefully or cautiously. I use either words you like. Look at me. As long as you don't get so cautious. Well, I don't know if Ulysses Fundano spent that 25 cents properly. Really. That's a standard that no one can meet, by the way. Number three, God's people give biblically. How so? This is as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. The Bible commands. Now, say it one more time. Look at me. Somebody is going to come to you if you're human. And they're going to say, well, Acts chapter 2 says we sold everything. Acts chapter 4, they didn't. And by the way, I believe today in emergency situations, we might have to do things like that. When this church was founded, there were people that sold property. Mrs. Seacrest sold 100 acres or something in Springfield, Illinois area to buy property. Look at me. Mrs. Askew and Don Askew did. There's other people in this room whose names I won't mention who have given more than either one of them. I didn't mention his name. It's just a fact. The second Mrs. Lucas. There we go. Because the first one died. Yeah, they gave a piece of property up right up here in Zion. But by the way, folks, how many pieces of property can you give away? You know, you can't, if you give everything away, where are you living? You know, you're in poverty too. But look at me. When the Bible establishes teaching, it doesn't tell us give everything we have. It tells us something differently. You got that? Now, sometimes in emergencies, we do emergency things. But in the situation on the norm, this is how we give. The norm would be biblically. What God says to the other churches, we do also. All right, next. Number four, submissively. We actually do what God says. Wow. So what do you call a Christian who doesn't give? Well, over long term, yes. There's something ain't right. That's like Tim Duram met your, what is he? Francis, her husband's going to be what? Your nephew by marriage? She's your niece. Then he's going to be your nephew by marriage. Have you met him? Whew. I'm doing a wedding right after church. All I can tell you is this. You ever walk up to a guy that's Chinese and out of his mouth comes perfect British? Who is this guy? He now lives in Shanghai. He doesn't speak Mandarin. Your niece does. He speaks Cantonese from Hong Kong. So he says people walk up to them, they'll address him thinking, he's a Chinese guy. She'll answer. Oh, my goodness. I don't know where I got that from, but that was funny. By the way, we ought to give submissively. Number five, God's people give regularly or weekly. First day of the week. I mean, Sunday is just the established day for the church. Folks, if you look broadly, Sam, you'll have to help me because I don't know. Muslims, they meet on Friday. Now, don't get real goofy here. Muslims meet on Friday, so they differentiate themselves from Christians and Jews. That's all it is. They're much later than Christianity and Judaism. Jewish people, the Shabbat, they meet on Saturday. By the way, Saturday in the modern calendar, they would say Shabbat, you know, which we get Sabbath from. Yes, exactly, sister, from Friday night about 6 p.m. to Saturday night about 6 p.m., that's the Sabbath. That's the way a Jewish person looks at time, in history anyhow. And Christians, we meet on first day of the week, which is what day? It's Sunday. It is also what, Tim Duran? More importantly than both of those, what is that day? Yeah, but what happened on that day? It's the day of the resurrection. Christians from the very beginning worshiped on the resurrection. Now, did they ever do anything on Saturday? Of course. They would go into the synagogues as long as they were allowed and preach the gospel. But that didn't last very long. After AD 70, no more of that. We okay back here? Somebody snoring or something? No, it's Tom. He's getting old. He needs WD-40. All right. So God's people give regularly or weekly. It's the established day. First day of the week, it's Sunday, but most importantly, it's the day of the resurrection, of course. And that's I think that's pretty profound. Number six is where I believe we're at. Is that about right? God's people give proportionately. God's people give proportionately. Now, friend, I should not have to say this over 40 or 50 or 60 times. Tithing is 10%. That, by the way, the word tithe means 10%. That's the meaning of the word. These other things are proportionate. And I say this honestly, that means... Now, I believe this. I'm a weird, old-fashioned kind of guy. I learned this from a Christian in the church. Sam, I learned it from Jess Enochs and Grace. Good folks from India. Jess Enochs was a major player in his day in, what was that called? They make Hostess. It's where he was working when he was in St. Louis. Hostess. They had four engineers that ran the four sections of the United States. One, and, you know, four guys. He was one of those guys. He had many, many plants under him. He was an engineer, which means he went and he checked the plants. Pretty big guy. Jess Enochs came to church, and the first thing you saw was he drove in his Bentley. Right, Jenny? He drove in a car that was as nondescript as this guy drives. It wasn't as bad as he drives. Nobody drives cars that bad. But, I mean, it was like, Jess Enochs made a lot of money, folks. Are you listening? He made a lot of money. And his cars were just like, why are you driving? You could drive a big car, fancy car. He had two very mediocre-looking cars. He lived very, hear the language, simply. You know why? Way back in St. Louis, he had two kids, and the daughter graduated with her master's from Bob Jones. The son was going to Bob Jones and went to Bob Jones, got his undergrad there in whatever medicine, I don't know what they call it, pre-med, and then went on and got his doctorate. He's a surgeon now. But Jess taught me, just talking to him, he didn't come up to me and say, let me tell you how you do it. He wanted to live his life in a way where he had more money to give, not less. Now, there's people in this room like that. I know a couple. Now, you say, are you looking for money? No, I just think you're going to live your life a certain way. Most people live it for themselves. They're not very happy people, but that was Jess Enochs. And like I say, there's two or three people right here, right now, that live that way. They can have bigger houses. You know, I talk to kids. You know, we have kids in my Bible class. Are you listening? I had four kids that have four bathrooms in their house. I really didn't know normal people had four. So I'm not happy. I'm buying a new house, four bathrooms. Which is just four more bathrooms I don't clean. So I'm thinking, probably sticking with the ones we have. By the way, what do I mean by proportionate? Please look at me. What do I mean by that? There's a huge difference, and I'm going to name names in this room, between what Army and Rolando should be doing to help benevolence than people that have a different place in their life. I mean, they got four beautiful children. Well, three perfect daughters, and they have Rolando Jr. You do realize, I mean, I look at Ralph. He has two young boys. You're in a different financial place when you got young kids. But I think people, I mean, I would not expect. Now, the funny part is, then there are people in this room that give too much. They don't make that much because they want to give. But actually, giving should be proportionate. You know, not tithing, but giving. And it ought to be. So if a person has minimal job, I would expect minimal. if someone's living pretty high, I would expect more. I mean, I said last week, there's that before kids, there's after kids, and that after kid, that lasts a long time. You know, I was hoping at 18 that was all over. And then the kids, both, there was that period for a year, was a year or 2 years, when both of them were at Bob Jones. That is not a good experience. You say, what did you do? Nothing, but my wife worked herself to death to pay for their school bill. Now, that's what, of course, that's what parents do, at least one of them. All right, look in your notes, please. I think this is common teaching, folks. So Paul says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So if you are able, then you give as you are able. I think, is that pretty straightforward? I'll get to the last point. By the way, here's the there's one big difference in my belief than some of yours. If you grew up in a typical fundamental church, there's one difference that I make. You'll understand it comes from the next point. Acts said the same thing. And the disciples, everyone according to his or her, what? Some have more, some have less. One of the favorite verses I have is Proverbs 3, 27 and 28. I would recommend, if you're a sensitive person, I don't know where Pachungai went. She went to smoke, maybe. But if you're sensitive like Pachungai, now, if you're a deadhead, don't worry about this. But if you're a sensitive person, look at me in the eyes. It always feels guilty that I can't do more. And Pachungai's that person. You need to memorize this verse. Withhold not good to them whom it is what? So I ask, I preached this sermon before, I asked three questions. Number one, is this good? Meaning good for this person. I don't give money to people who don't work. My daughter was over yesterday. We had this discussion. We have these discussions. There are people that if you walked up to them today and gave them $50 for their kid's school bill, they would weep. There's other people in our mix that if you gave them $10,000, they would say, yeah, I needed that. The ones who are working are broken when somebody helps them. And the other people are arrogant. And they don't give either. And they don't work either. But they deserve this. And may I say this, it shocks me how many people are deserving. In the 22 years I've been here, almost, there's been quite a few people that feel entitled in our church. That's weird to me. You mean somebody does something nice for you and you don't thank them? Yes. I can't mention names, but it's weird to me, and it's people that were here when I came, some of them. I'm like, I don't get that. Do you think somehow you... We better get back to the notes. But by the way, I asked something. If somebody needs something that, you know, and I ask, is this really good for this person? Or is this going to enable this person to continue their lifestyle? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. So, is it good? Number two, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it, are you able? What if you're not able to do more? Look at me. I never feel guilty because I know what I'm able to do. And I do what I'm able to do, and I can't do any more. Why would you feel guilty? Get this text in your heart. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Straightforward. Galatians 6:10. I won't preach on that verse. There's three ideas, but you got a couple of them. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We obviously have more connection and responsibility to God's people, but it's okay to help unsaved. Folks, I've already said it, but I'll say it in a different way. Does not God cause the rain to fall on the just and on? God is good to who? Look at Psalm 147. And if I got the wrong verse, French, you'll get the right one. Psalm 147. I think. And I could be wrong. I think I might be wrong. It's right in here, folks. It's right in here. Oh, see, someone else, who got that? Wow. Not asking French anymore, I'm asking my wife. Okay. Yes, the Lord is good too, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So it's okay to be good to people. You say they're not saved. All right, we could talk about this more. Let me see. Let me look on this back page and see. Let me ask you a question. Let's bring this down a little closer. In this area, you're going to have people walk up to you and say, I need some money for food. So I want, raise your hand. Tell me what you're going to do. Yes. Okay. Actually, I've only had one person I've ever been able to do that for. Most people, I've been to McDonald's right here over, which direction are we? Right up over here on Wadsworth in Sheridan, and actually had people walk right up to me and say, I need some money for food. And I say, come on inside. I had one guy come inside. I bought him a sandwich, and I bought him some fries, and I bought him a drink, but I'm not real sure he ate them. He put them in his thing and walked away. My guess is he probably tried to sell those for whatever he was looking for. But I at least did the best I could. Now, so if you don't want to do that, I don't know. Tom, what do you think? Don't give anybody anything? You're a cop. You don't, anything but a hard time, right? Heartless. What do you think? By the way, folks, I'm not giving people just money for money. Yeah, you don't want to, but if you can give somebody something, by the way, if somebody's really hungry, if I have money, I'm going to help them eat. Amy? So if I need lunch and Tim needs lunch, we can go up there. But it's something that'll get you by. Christy, did you have a thought on this, sister? By the way, this is hard stuff. You do know that. Helping people is not easy. But on the other hand, I don't want to be so cautious that I'm worried about my $5. You know, oh my goodness, I got to come to church and tell everybody I gave $5 to somebody. Get a life. By the way, humble yourself and repent of your wicked heart. That's what you need to do. Go ahead. Yes, sir, Louis. We'll get to that the next point, because we know you're Walang Puso, so heartless, folks, heartless. Well, because those are the people the Bible puts all the emphasis on. Widows, orphans, and somebody like foreigners that don't have wherewithal. But at the same time, Louis, the people that are by the Mayon, I don't have a problem feeding men there because their livelihood is gone right now. It's not like they can go out and plant their crops because there's no place to plant it if you're in that zone. I think this is good stuff, folks. I think it's important, Sam. What do you say, Linda? Go ahead and preach to us, sister. Two of my favorite preachers in this whole church are right back there, Linda and Nancy. And Cassie's their cheerleader. Go ahead, sister. Yeah, some people just wouldn't take money. They would not. Yes, sir. Well, this is a little different. Like, if you know somebody in our church has lost their job or is in some tough times, you're going to know some of that, and you can give anonymously. Give it to Bambi. Tell her what it's for, and that's very anonymous because she'll forget it in 30 seconds. She does not have she does not keep things in her mind. I hired her for one reason, two reasons. Number one, she's very good with numbers, and she does not remember. I don't need a nosy busybody. We'll talk about busybodies today. But by the way, this is just talking, Sam. I'm just thinking you're walking down the road and you see somebody in need. And there's lots of needs. Now, in the Philippines, it's a hot country. So in the middle of the night, you'll be driving down the road, 3 in the morning. You say, why? Have you been in the traffic in Manila? No, you haven't. You drive to where I'm going, and you look on the street corner over here, and there's some cardboard, and there's a whole family living in there. Now, they can do that in the Philippines because it doesn't get cold. Tragedy is some drunk dad has a wife and a couple, 2 or 3 kids. I don't know how to help them because I don't want to feed his drinking problem, but you got some kids starving to death. That's heartbreaking. Yes.
That's where, you know, help the believers first, and then you got to be unbelievably conscious of helping and not enabling the non-believers. And that's, anybody doesn't answer that one.
You know, I don't think there is an answer to this. Cliffy, you have a thought about this, brother? We've done that in Mexico many times. You guys have been with us. We're going to the place, to the panaderia. You know, her name is pan sin dulce, bread without the sweet. There's a place you buy pan dulce, which is sweet bread. It's donuts. But they have all kinds of different kinds. We'll get a big old bag, 2 or 3 of those. And a lot of the Maya kids, they don't eat all day. They're out there selling things to make a living. And they're very hierarchical. So what you do is you try to find the top dog, and you would think she'd eat it all. Mm-mm. Remember, you've seen it many times. They dole it out right down the line, wrap it up. You only get so much. So you can actually help some of the kids by themselves. Oh, yes. Yeah. You guys have seen that too with us. I don't know, folks. I'm just this simple. If somebody that I see says, I need $5 for McDonald's, I am not going to pray about that. If I have the $5, I'm taking them into McDonald's, I'm buying them a meal, whether they need it or not. Now, I probably won't give them $10 because I don't want to support their cigarettes and their booze habit or drugs. In your notes, and this is hard. Now, and there's a big difference, though, between $5 or $10 and really giving somebody some money. If I'm going to really try to help somebody, it's probably going to be one of us. You don't understand? Somebody that we know, for whatever reason, they've had an emergency. Don DeGraw, you guys remember, it's been a long time. Remember he had to have open heart surgery and didn't have the money? I don't know who gave, but we raised a lot of money to help take care of that. He was one of us. I think it was the right thing to do, don't you? So that's a little different ballgame. In your notes, when it comes to this subject, tithing is a specific proportion. It's a specific proportion. Meaning 10%, correct? On the other hand, gifts are proportionate. Proportionate according to how much money you have, how much money you make, your needs, and all of that sort of thing. And by the way, that's very different from time. It's different. That's all I need to say. Next, below that, tithing is, in my way of thinking, is a requirement, whereas gifts are voluntary. So if you are Walang Puso, Louis Haddas, you don't have to give gifts. You say, you shouldn't say that about Louis. Well, it's true. But the good news is, Marissa is puso mamon, soft-hearted. Right, Marissa? I love it. Lastly, this is the one thing. And by the way, if you go back and look at these bullet points, every one of them are found in those four verses. All I have done in 3 weeks is talk about four verses, every single line. Now we're coming to the line that is very important. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Why? Why? Read it. What in the world does that mean? Well, here's your problem when it comes to money. Some guys are very good at getting money out of people, even against their will. I think some of that happened at Lake County to some degree. So you're giving reluctantly, and when things don't work out the way you think you should happen, guess what people do? They become bitter. If I bump, there's only one person alive from the early days. If I saw her today, the first words out of her mouth would be about money she gave to this church. Now, you say you shouldn't have said that. I love the lady, but this happened at Bob Jones. When Amy graduated with her master's degree, and right beside me was a pastor friend of mine, Al Rudy. I think his daughter was graduating too. Al Rudy's daughter, redheaded with a big smile. You know what I'm talking about. Al Rudy's from Danville. He and I were chit-chatting. Here comes the lady. She's walking down the sidewalk. I want to honor her. So I said, Al, let me introduce you to somebody. Her and her husband were the founder, some of the founders of this church. And the bitterness that spewed out of her mouth. Oh, by the way, they founded this in 1974. What year did you graduate, Amy? Do you think by 2011 you should be over bitterness? Here's the problem. I'll tell you the story. You do not have to believe the story. You can read Benjamin Franklin's autobiography. Find out what he said. The funny story was, it was well known that George Whitefield could raise money from anybody. And he had an orphanage in Georgia. By the way, George Whitefield was a great evangelist. He was not a good organizer or planner. He put an orphanage in Georgia in the early 1740s. Folks, there was nobody lived down there. They couldn't pay for it. They couldn't get it going. It finally went out of business, sadly. But he was always having to raise money. He should have put it up north. Puts it down there when nobody even lived down there, and it was a mess. But anyhow, George Whitefield was raising money. You know the story. I've told it before. Benjamin Franklin decided, I'm going to go hear him preach. Now, Franklin was an unsaved guy. But he loved to hear Whitefield preach because Whitefield could preach. And he said, I went to hear him, but I decided not to take any money. None. Because I knew whatever I had in my pocket was going to go for that orphanage. So he goes, he hears him preach, he hears him make the appeal for the money. He tries to borrow money from other people. Because Whitefield could get money out of anybody. Now, it's not wrong. I can appeal to you for money if I need to. I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel dirty if it's a proper thing, by the way. That doesn't bother me at all. And Whitefield was doing the right thing. But here's the thing. What if Mike over here has $100,000? Pastors sometimes can be a little, I don't know. I'm not going to pick on pastors. They want to do things. And understand, if everybody in this church tithed, you realize how much more we could do. Easily. But anyhow, so I go to Mike and I butter him up and he becomes my best friend and I take him out every day and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of weasel that money out of him, or I have put pressure on him. It is not a voluntary thing. Do you understand? I want to say this. I've given money to missionaries and projects that were 100% failures. Never bother me, because I give the money willingly to the Lord. Then it doesn't bother me. That's the reason, if you ever wonder why I don't try to put a lot of pressure on you. First of all, if I put pressure on you, the only people that give more are people who are already sensitive. And the deadheads that don't tithe and don't give, they're not going to give anything. Let's look at some verses. Number seven, this is my last point. Are you ready for this? God's people, and I don't mean this exactly, but it's close. God's people give non-emotionally. I don't mean that you're not moved, but I'm not manipulating your emotions to get you to give. So Paul said, I'm going to be there for the offering. Make sure you take the offering before I get there. I don't want to have to play this game. Do you understand emotionally manipulation? And by the way, there's people that are good at this. Dr. Moritz always says of Dr. Cederholm for Maranatha, he could sell igloos to Eskimos. Just had that ability. The other word is willingly. The rest of the verses focus on that concept. So let's read 25:1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me a what? We're not talking about tithes. We're talking about of every man that giveth it with his heart. And heart probably means more than emotions. From the center. You shall have my offering. Exodus 36. And all the wise men that wrought in the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. Can you imagine? Which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave, I love this language, commandment. And they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Just look at the highlighted parts, 1 Chronicles 29. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? They offered willingly. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. My favorite verses in the Bible on giving, they're not all in here, but this next one is just, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Verse 17 says, David says, I have willingly offered all these things. Ezra, willingly offered. Verse 5, and of everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. 7:16, and of the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the provinces of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priest, offered willingly for the house of their God. So look at me, friend. Why did Paul say, make sure you take the offering before I get there? Why? Because he didn't want them to give? No, he wanted them to give willingly, and not because, all right, we don't have time to say this, but I will. You show some black kids from Africa, this church will give three times more than if I show white kids from England. Now, I love the black kids in Africa. I love the white kids in England. Why is that? Do you know if I bring a missionary here from Germany or France, I can barely get you to bite? We are emotional creatures. Did you know that? Now, I don't have a problem with you giving emotionally as long as it's not manipulation. I'm not playing that game. So this is the reason Pastor Warren doesn't preach on giving every weekend. I want you to give willingly from the heart. I would hope if you're a mature Christian, you want to see God's work furthered. That's what I'm looking for. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great text. It says some pretty profound things. If we can keep it clear that we're talking about an offering and not tithing, help us to hear. I think most people in this room already do this. For those handful of people who are never give, never tithe, I have no idea how to pray or what to say. But Lord, may all of us recognize whatever we give, wow, it's yours to begin with. It'll be yours in the end. We're just loaned it for a short time. And Lord, may we be thankful people for what we have, and may we share generously like you have shared with us. In Christ's name.